morning. Welcome to, welcome to the Easter sunrise service. As you can tell, I'm starting to come down with something. My voice is about an octave lower than it usually is, but I'm feeling pretty well today. So I'd like to, as in welcoming you to this, it may be a surprise, but I decided it was going to be sponsored by the chancel choir. I don't know that they all know that, but when Mary gave me last year's bulletin to kind of look at for ideas of what I might want to do this year, I saw that I then remembered it was sponsored by the Monday night Bible study. So I thought, I'm part of the choir, and so since I'm planning this, I guess this will be something the choir's doing. I was away all week, but I took the materials with me to plan what I wanted to do, and thought I would be on the phone all day Friday getting choir people to do their thing. But because I'm in the process of getting sick, when I get this thing, the first thing I usually try to do is go to Big Boy and eat cabbage soup to try to stop it coming. And so Friday noon, we went to Big Boy to get the cabbage soup, and Deb was there, and I had my parts with me, so asked if they were going to come to the service, and so handed off the first two parts. Lynn had already volunteered to. And then when I came to Good Friday service, I started to sit somewhere and saw a little cluster of choir people sitting up in this other corner, so I went there and had my parts with me and handed off the other three. So even though they didn't know ahead of time that they were this was being sponsored by the choir, it is choir people who are participating in it. Bill had already offered to sing. So that's my welcome, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So with that, I'd like to open us with prayer. Gracious God, for the gift of your Son on this special day, we give you more thanks than we can ever imagine. For the sunrise service, as we meet, as the sun is still coming up, and the wonderful pictures of the sun we see on the screens. Lord, for all this and more, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We'll open with our opening hymn, Morning Has Broken. We'll stand and sing it together. Be seated. The first reading, the New Covenant, is based on a scripture from Luke 22. This is the cup of the new covenant by my blood, which is poured out for you. I thought this was a good place to start on Easter morning because the pastor's been preaching the last few Sundays on covenants in the Bible. Throughout the Bible, the most solemn promises were called covenants and were sealed with blood. The lifeblood of sacrificial animals became the sacred symbol of a promise that would not be broken. In Exodus 24:8, Moses sprinkled the blood of oxen over the Hebrew people to seal their first covenant with God when they were given the law. But this time, the covenant was to be sealed not with the blood of an ox, but with the blood of God incarnate as man on earth. Jesus himself was the sacrifice. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of a new covenant with the law, which would be written on the hearts of people, Jeremiah 31:33. Therefore, this new covenant would be a profound cosmic change. It would usher in a deeper understanding of the relationship between God and humanity by removing the final barrier of sin and death that was between heaven and earth. People would no longer have to live with the specter of death hanging over them. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, all believers would be offered eternal life. So when Jesus was lifting up the cup, he was changing the fabric of the universe. With his blood, Jesus sealed the new covenant, which enables everyone to be able to enter God's presence with confidence and live on with God for eternity. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I am awestruck and eternally grateful to you for sealing the new covenant with your blood. Amen.
In Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus said, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done." In all four Gospels, Jesus repeatedly told his disciples that he had to die. It was the reason he went to Jerusalem. So why did he agonize in the garden? Certainly, he didn't want to suffer crucifixion's intense physical pain, but many martyrs have gone cheerfully to deaths just as painful. What can explain his torment? It was because Jesus' death was unlike any other in history. On the cross, Jesus took on the burden of sin of the entire world. We're used to hearing those words, but think about what they actually mean. The beloved, sinless Son of God became sin. By taking on our transgressions, he not only experienced the crushing weight of sin for the first time, but because God hates sin, it also severed the bond between Father and Son. As he died, Jesus was the only being who has ever experienced true God-forsakenness. And he was the very being in all of creation who could suffer this abandonment most keenly. This was the cup that God had handed him. Yet, he obediently went forward, suffering not only the physical torment of the cross, but also the even more profound mental anguish of his spirit. What an incredible, overwhelming act of love for humanity. Each of us should pray, "Beloved Jesus, may I never forget the incredible sacrifice that you made for me." Amen.
from Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus, the Son of God, stumbled under the weight of his cross as he made his way to the site of his execution. His disciples were gone. The crowds that had listened to him, enraptured at the temple, watched silently. He was hoisted onto a wooden cross and left to die. Thieves hung on his right and his left sides, the places once coveted by his disciples. As he died, Roman soldiers hurled insults at him. Yet he prayed that they be forgiven. Even their behavior could not lessen the love and mercy of God. In the midst of this hellish scene, love still triumphed. So how could anyone ever doubt the grace of God? This forgiveness is for each one of us too. We may not have stood silent at the cross, but how many times have we ignored those in need around us? We didn't drive the nails through Jesus' hands and his feet, but have we ever caused anyone else pain? We didn't hurl insults at him that day, but when have we damaged others with our words? We were not beside his accusers and his judges, smiling in smug satisfaction. But when have we taken pleasure in others' pain? Jesus prays for all of us to be forgiven and continues to pray to God that every one of us might understand at all times what we are doing. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for your grace in the midst of my sin and my ignorance. Amen.
Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Luke 23:42. Jesus was bloody, torn, and dying, hanging in shame from a criminal's cross. Maybe those who thought he might have been the Messiah had been waiting for something spectacular to happen, an 11th hour miracle that would somehow save the day. If he were really who he said he was, surely he would not have let this happen to himself. But now, who could possibly believe that he was the Messiah? God incarnate Son, what a disappointment. Even the thief dying next to Jesus scorned him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us, he snarled. But incredibly, the other thief recognized Jesus' divinity. Even as he hung in agony on the criminal's cross, he understood the nature of Jesus' kingdom and knew that in only hours they would be in Jesus' kingdom. He defended Jesus and said, this man has done nothing wrong. He then humbly asked that Jesus remember him. He saw that Jesus did have the power to save not only himself, but everyone else who would ask. Jesus responded that there was a place in paradise, the place of the blessed, waiting for him. What incredible faith. No one else at that moment understood that Jesus was following the path that would offer salvation to us all. This simple thief was able to glimpse in Jesus' dying eyes the glory of the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Jesus, remember me as you rule in your kingdom of God. Amen.
You know what? I have heard other people say that they like to sing this song with me. I'm going to sing the old rugged cross. It's 504 if you want to sing along. And if you're at home or in your car, you got to sing extra loud or we're never going to hear you.
Thank you. red cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I loved that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you.
A centurion in Roman times was the captain of a detachment of 100 men, so he was called a centurion. And this scripture is from Mark. It says, when the centurion who stood facing Jesus saw how he died, he said, "This was certainly God's son." What had they done? For centuries, The people had waited for the Messiah, the chosen one of God, to rescue them. They had dreamed of the day when God would rule the world, peace would reign, and righteousness would triumph. It was their hope for their future and the basis of their faith. When the Messiah did come, God announced his birth with bonds of angels. His touch healed, his words enlightened, but almost no one noticed. The rulers of Israel thought of him as a minor political nuisance. The religious leaders resented his intrusions and his reinterpretations of their law. He became an object of derision and scorn, sentenced to die a shameful criminal's death. But at the moment of his death, the sky darkened. The curtain in the temple was rent violently in two. The soldiers watching the death were fear-struck by this terrible realization. This was God's son. He was the hope they had been waiting for. He was the salvation they had been promised. And they mocked him, beaten him, and left him in agony. Truly, it was one of the darkest days in the history of the world. What would God do to them now? How could the world survive the murder of a Messiah? A short prayer. O Lord, grant me, a sinner, your mercy and your grace. Amen.
Amen. Scriptures from Luke 23, verse 53. Taking it down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a tomb carved out of rock in which no one had ever been buried. How can an act of mercy change the world? Usually, executed criminals were not allowed a decent burial. Families were turned away when they came to claim the body. Joseph of Arimathea, a Sanhedrin priest and a member of the council, was influential enough to convince Pilate to give Jesus' body for burial. Therefore, Jesus' body was not thrown on a heap of smoldering garbage outside the gates of the city, as were the bodies of the other criminals. Instead, Joseph of Arimathea removed the body from the cross himself, wrapped it in linen, and laid it down in his own tomb. Joseph's act of compassion enabled Jesus to have a proper burial and gave his followers a small comfort of being able to prepare his body for entombing. Most acts of kindness go unnoticed or soon forgotten in this world. Donations are spent, meals are eaten, favors forgotten. But God knows when we serve him and can use our obedience for incredible things. Joseph didn't know the implications of his act of kindness. All he knew was that he was being merciful to the followers of an innocent man. But his name has gone down in history. The tomb that he offered would become the symbol of hope for the world. Let us pray. Lord, open my eyes to acts of kindness and mercy that we would serve you. Amen.
And so, that brings us today. The scripture reading coming from John, Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Very early Sunday morning, Mary returned to tend to Jesus' corpse. She had not had time to anoint him before his burial, and now it was the first allowable time after the Sabbath. Her return was an act of deep love that would have been very painful for her had the corpse still been there. But the tomb was open. Angels were inside, and the body was missing. In one of the most beautiful scenes in all Scripture, Jesus whispered Mary's name, and the entire world changed. Can you imagine Mary's face when she recognized Jesus' voice? At that moment, she was overcome with joy just seeing him alive. But that moment changed the entire fabric of creation. Christ's resurrection confirmed that he is indeed the incarnate Son of God. But beyond that, it means that God's answer to the scorn, hatred, vindictiveness the world showed to his Son is a thundering no. Sin and death would not win. The world would not spiral down into a devil's song of victory. The Messiah rose up and offered to creation hope and the opportunity to live in righteousness with God. God's love, grace, and forgiveness were reaffirmed as the greatest powers in the universe. And it was done for us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can join in his victory and become citizens of the kingdom of God. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 364, Because He Lives. Will you stand and sing? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. There are offering plates in the back if people have brought their Easter offering and aren't planning to go to the other service, but there are offering plates in the back rather than having it as part of the service. And so now, with the grace, before we go to Wesley Hall for breakfast, will you pray with me? Gracious God, someone plants the seed. Someone watches it grow. Someone harvests the grain that becomes the flour, the dough, the bread we eat today. Gracious God, we thank you for all the someones who give and for the gift of life itself. Amen. Breakfast is being served downstairs. Thank you for coming.